Coming today on Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast.
Like, I didn't know how to feel anything in my own body. Like, I didn't understand what to do if I had a feeling about anything. I didn't really know what to do with that. Like, it just felt like this energy inside of me. And, you know, it was usually fear, anger, pain, whatever, even joy in a way, but I didn't know fully how to metabolize it.
Welcome to Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast with Rebecca Zung and Susan Guthrie.
This is the place to hear other people's stories, to learn from the top experts in every related field, and to also have some fun, laugh, and hang with two girlfriends who are also top family law litigators.
And now we invite you to listen to today's show.
It's going to inspire you to transform and break free.
Welcome to today's podcast. Our topic today is From Chaos to Clarity, Using Meditation and Mindfulness to Deal with Life's Transitions. Our special guest today is renowned meditation and energy healing expert, Scott Picard. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. We're thrilled today to welcome our very special guest, Scott Picard. Scott is trained as a dancer and gymnast in Montana as a young boy, and he understood the intrinsic wisdom and power of the physical body from a very early age. As he moved into his 20s and made his way out into the world, he abandoned these practices entirely. It wasn't until he met his teacher, Dominique Sayer, that he was able to re-engage to this meaningful way of life and truly appreciate the profound wisdom the body holds. Working with Dominique, he saw his life and relationships transform in ways he could never have imagined. After over a decade of studying, Scott took the next natural step and began teaching. Scott's passion for this work of using the body and movement to gather insight into the myriad complexities of the human condition allowed him to discover and expand his relationship to the earth, to others, and to himself. Using these principles, he's able to access the humanity we each hold. Acting as a compassionate guide, he leads women and men of all ages and backgrounds to find a deeper connection to their own lives, to others, and to the world around them. His groundbreaking work has been featured in Vogue magazine and the LA Times. The inclusive power of Scott's work welcomes people from all diverse walks of life, from A-list celebrities to teachers and CEOs. Scott works with individuals, couples, groups, and companies worldwide. Welcome, Scott.
Thanks, you guys. Thanks for having me today.
Scott, welcome from me as well. So I just wanted to start off by talking a little bit about you, the types of chaos that you've endured in your life, and the types of things that brought you to this type of work to begin with. I want you to share a little bit about your personal journey as well as your professional journey.
Yeah. All right. So, God, it was interesting. I haven't read my bio or heard it out loud in a while. It was so interesting to oh my God. It feels like it's been, the journey started for me, about 13 years ago, I hadn't started recovery yet, but I was struggling with addiction. And my thing back then was, it was alcohol addiction primarily. And there was a bunch of other, stuff, but I got to this point where in my life where nothing was really working. I wasn't going anywhere. It just felt like this kind of very low plateau all the time. And I had this friend who said, "Well, do you want to come to this workshop with me?" And I said, "Yeah, I'll try it. I was willing to try anything." And I tried a lot of things and nothing was really working. But then I met Dominique Sayer and I did this workshop, and she's an incredible woman. She's just one of the most incredible women I know. And she's one in a million, once in a lifetime. So I took the workshop and, she used the body, and in the workshop, my body in a way started responding. It started to do things that my conscious mind wasn't always fully, keyed into. But to make a long story short, everything started to shift once I started to access my own body in a way that I had kind of forgotten how. But not only that, but she gave me like a substantive skeleton or framework to kind of work from in everything, and it applied to all parts of my life. So, you know, I just kept working with her, and we became very close friends. She's, you know, she's the best teacher I have, and she's also a dear friend of mine. And over time, I just started doing more and more workshops and doing more of the work consistently. And then, you know, she suggested, she's like, why don't you start teaching? And then another friend of mine had a yoga studio and said, you should start teaching small workshops, small classes, you know, based on this work. So I thought, well, I'll try it. And then at that time in my life, I had also been, you know, over the years I got sober. So I've, you know, been in recovery for almost 10 years. So that coupled with this work was like, you know, changing the trajectory of my life. And I was finding, you know, all these new things out about myself, you know. And what I realized at the beginning, and I remember this the other day, it used to be like I didn't know how to feel anything in my own body. Like I didn't understand what to do if I had a feeling about anything. I didn't really know what to do with that. Like it just felt like this energy inside of me. And, you know, it was usually fear, anger, pain, whatever, even joy in a way, but I didn't know fully how to metabolize it. So that was the first thing, just to learn, you know, how do I integrate that into some kind of power and wisdom, right? And then I had to learn how to relate to other people in the world from that place, which was even harder, right? Just like relating in any way. And then I realized that, you know, the more sober I got, I realized that, you know, the world is about relationships. Everything is about relationships. There's no, you know, there are different kinds, of course. There's familial, there's romantic, you know, there's friends, there's platonic, it's all different kinds of relationships. But I could see ultimately how fundamentally, like the core fiber of that is kind of been broken down, you know? So what happened next in the step was I was doing workshops outside of my job. I was working at this internet company, and then it was a large Fortune 500 company, and they asked me, some people had come to my workshops outside of my job, and I kind of kept the two separate, you know, and they started to come, and then they said, well, someone from, there was this big fund committee at the company I worked with. They said, would you mind doing this, what you're doing, but try to do it in a corporate level, on a business level? And I said, yeah, well, I could try it. And to be honest, like my goal was just not to be, because I work with these people all day, you know, and it was a great environment, and there was a lot of people in this company. So I thought, you know, I'll try it. But I was just like, it was funny because my first goal was just not to be annoying. Like I didn't want to be like this person proselytizing at work, because, you know, it's not going to work. So, but what it did, the gift of it was, I would do it every Monday. We call it Meditation Monday. And I would get people to come in. It was only 30 minutes. So, and my workshops were half days, basically. So I had to learn how to truncate it, all of it, down to the basic message, to distill down what the principles of what I do, down to the very building blocks, so people could digest it and not just like walk out of the room or be, you know, where it wouldn't land and it wouldn't be helpful to anybody. And was interesting because in doing that, because at the company I worked at, I had engineers, there was marketers, there was, you know, high level executives from every level of person and type of person, they were able to come and get something out of it. So that was really good in that step. And I see how it played such an important part to bring in that into the world of business. So the two aren't separate, because we live often with the two separate. And I think that, you know, has been part of the problem here. So, and then what I also saw is what people would come to the thing, they would start telling me what issues they had as a male or as a female in the workplace. And they were different issues, but everyone had some type of issue around the disparity and inequality of power. And that was fascinating to see, because what I realized from that, and also from this, I had started doing at this point outside of work, I was doing more one-on-ones, I was doing more individuals, and I also had started doing couples.
Are you comfortable sharing the company that you were working with, the name of it? Because I think it would just...
Yeah, I worked for Yahoo. It was,
pretty big company. Yeah.
Yeah. Most people know Yahoo. Yeah. It was great. And the people there were open and, you know, and I kept hearing this, it's a business decision. It's a business decision. And I was like, well, what did they mean by that? Because what it felt like to me is whenever someone says that, it's a way to disconnect from the rest of the self in a way, you know? So I saw that was interesting in businesses where we come up with reasons to become less human in a way in the name of business, which isn't going to work either. So I saw that, but then it showed up individually in each person as well. Each person had their own kind of, you know, issue with it. So I think looking at it like bigger scope now, I think I realized like all those steps led to kind of what you see, like you can apply it to anything. So what I learned, I applied personally first. And then in my case, I learned it in the, like in the business sector, you know, with an institution or like a company or corporation. But you can see that disparity of inequality between people all over the world now. It's what's surfacing everywhere. You don't have to look too far to see it. And the obvious one is men and women, but also that it's happening. There's power struggles within gender. So in men with men and women and women, everyone's having kind of power struggles and even individuals. So you have to look at it like this. Like this is one of the fundamental things I start off every class or anything with, and I'll share it with you guys right now, that you have to hold this somewhere inside of you, that basically every individual, regardless of your gender, regardless however you identify, you have an internal male, but you also have the counterpart to that, which is internal female. And that is key to know, because that relationship, even within each individual, has an inequality. Even in women who think sometimes their male was overdeveloped, because that's the way, in a way, we set it up. It was like, if you want to compete with men, you have to be like men. So women were like, okay, well, I want to be able to do all that stuff too. And it was good, because I think what it did is women developing their inner male more, it developed a kind of healthy competition. The issue with that is that what was left behind, in a way, was the female of the female. And you can't have wholeness in any human being without the female. So it became a journey of finding those two things in everyone and then putting it together.
You know, so that's that is so interesting. And I'm trying to sort of unpack that for our listeners.
Because
we're talking about emotion. And as divorce attorneys, you know, Rebecca and I deal with fear. I mean, that is the emotion, I would say, really, Rebecca, right? That for the most part, everyone that comes to us is mired in that. So could you know, for our listeners, but it doesn't have to be just divorce. I mean, I know people feel fear at any time of transition and change, but can you talk about a little bit on an energy level, what people are dealing with when they're dealing with fear?
Yeah, of course. So I think part of it is that, you know, whenever you have to launch a transition, will always make you go into the unknown, right? What was before is no longer how it is now. And it applies to everything, but let's take like what happens, you know, in a relationship that comes to an end. I mean, that's divorce, and the people that I work with that are going through divorce, I realize like that, what a big deal it is on so many levels. I mean, it's a really big change, you know? And I think whenever there's a transition or there's a change, what you previously know to be true no longer seems or feels to be true. And so you have to be willing to go into the unknown, right? And the part of everyone doesn't really like to have to surrender to the unknown. It's part of what you go through in any transition. But in order to become whole, you have to be able to, you have to kind of be able to do that. So how I hold it is kind of this. The, you know, I look at everything. If everything happens in your life and, you know, it does hold meaning for you toward, I feel, your wholeness as a human being. So let's say the divorce is happening in your life. The way I try to get people there is to see it and feel it through the context of what can this do to make my life more whole, this step, which is often a very confusing, painful, and a step filled with, as you said, fear. So I'll give you an example. There was a couple I worked with now it's almost been about 2 years, but a gentleman came to me. He was mid-later life, and his wife had asked for a divorce, and they had been married 37 years. He was still, in this scenario, he was still very much in love with her. She was finished because of certain things that had happened in the relationship that were not great for her, frankly. And so, you know, he contacted me, and I said, well, here's the thing. I go, and he was devastated, and I was like, and I told him, I said, you can use this. You can use this to become all of who you were meant to be as a man. And I will help you walk through the fear, first of all, the pain, the anger, everything you need to walk through. And I swear to you, if you do that, you're going to become more whole. Now, it might not be the result you want, which is the marriage to work out. But the point is, we're going to find the true man in you through this process. And I said, but I can't decide to do that for you. You're going to have to decide, are you willing to face the fear? Are you willing to face the pain and everything that comes up so you can walk through it to the other side? A lot of times what happens is fear can immobilize people. It freezes them. Or they'll go into such action, they almost bypass it altogether. They'll pop over it. They'll leap over it. The way through is you have to stay in the fear in a way to walk through it. It's much harder to walk through, but that's the way to become whole. You can't bypass it. So fear is actually, I feel, one of the first really good signs in a way, because it means you're in the right place. You should be fearful. And it's about not fearing the fear. What you have to do is recognize the fear, and then you move through the fear to get through the fear.
Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve your family law matter peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com. Also, make sure to download your free meditation at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free meditation. Coming up, more from Rebecca and Susan on From Chaos to Clarity, using meditation and mindfulness to deal with life's transitions.
I know you've worked with both men and women who've been dealing with divorce. And if you could expound a little bit more on specifically the types of emotions you see them going through, other than fear, which we talked about, and how you help them process through those.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can hear Rebecca and Susan discuss more topics on divorce in depth, including avoiding financial disasters with top financial advisor and radio host Jason Reynolds.
I think one of the biggest ones is the opposite of your situation, where the client or one of the parties going through divorce is completely ill-advised and has no concept of their finances, has no idea about the assets of the marriage, of the debt that the parties might have. And that really can put that individual in the divorce process at a huge disadvantage.
And now we return to today's show.
So I love that, especially because in my experience, fear is the very first emotion that people feel. In fact, my book, Breaking Free, A Step-by-Step Divorce Guide to Achieving Emotional, Physical, and Spiritual Freedom, the very first chapter of my book is fear, because I know that that's the first emotion that people experience. Now, they all process through it different ways. They have different types of fears. But what I see is, and I've said this many times, and people who've heard me before have heard me say that there is a divorce paradox. And the divorce paradox is that during the worst, most traumatic time of your life, which death and divorce or breakup of a relationship are always at the top of any list of the most traumatic things that people could ever go through, is that they have to make the most clear decisions of their life during that time. I mean, you know, a lot of times you can be dealing with a traumatic situation, but you don't have to make these clear decisions. But in divorce, you have to make decisions about your future that are going to affect your future. And then those decisions end up being memorialized into a marital settlement agreement, or, you know, you go to a trial and ask the judge to grant what you're asking for. But most of the time, since, you know, probably 80 to 90% of divorce cases settle in mediation, you're choosing this, but you have to think clearly. So I know you've worked with both men and women who've been dealing with divorce. And if you could expound a little bit more on specifically the types of emotions you see them going through, other than fear, which we talked about, and how you help them process through those?
Yeah, good question. I think, well, fear is a big one, you know. Fear is, in a way, the primary one. But a lot of times the fear, it's not only about the unknown, which is scary, but it's also about the fear of the fear of the pain they're going to feel going through it. They fear the very pain they know they're probably already feeling, or is even more kind of, they're afraid there's going to be more pain. There's also fear of loneliness.
What about resentment?
Yeah, resentment. I mean, resentment, of course, is a big one. But with all of it, it's different, though, with men and women. I kind of have, the tips I have for men and women, they're ultimately all the same, but the starting point I've noticed, it helps if they're different for men and women is what I can tell you. And it's different in this way. So you have to also think of this, and I'll just give you like just to simply think of it like this, because it's a lot, but every man on the planet has like their true self, their true male, which is their true self, their true who they are, but they also have a false self, which is their shadow male. The false self or shadow male, either one that works best for you, that you can just think of right now. Every man has almost two beings in them. And it's hard because what happens is men start to identify with the false self as that's their true power. And we see it all over the world. It's what men have to deal with right now is their shadow power. It's up everywhere. You don't have to look far. And it's actually really easy to surface in sessions because it's right on the surface in a man all the time. But then the work becomes, you have to get the man to identify that false self is not him. So he has to see he is the true self, and there's a false self who sometimes takes over his body. Because I get a lot of people that are like, it's like I live with two people. A lot of women will say, I live with two people. And I'll say, well, one is his true self and one is his shadow. So a man has to recognize that he's not a shadow, right? No matter how bad he is. When I'm working with a guy, I have to see his shadow, but I also have to see the part of him that is still innocent. I have to hold the greatness of him as a man at the same time. You have to hold both or it won't work. Women have to learn to do that as well, actually. So theirs is a little trickier because right away, I don't have women deal with their shadow. That comes later for women. What I have women have to look at is where they have in the past or currently, seeking out love from their wound, right? So the wound is the part, let me explain quickly and simply, that it's the part of every person it's part of here. It's part of here. It's part of the soul. Everyone has a wound. We love the wound, right? But here's why the wound is hard for everyone, because it sucks. It's painful. Everyone has one. So the women unconsciously, sometimes what I feel, what I see happening is they lead with the wound because they want it to be loved into being healed. So basically another way to say that is they want the other person to heal their wound, and it'll never work. But it's trickier than that, because part of the reason they have a women have that wound is because of the false male, right? So the false male have part, it's what we're looking, it's what you see in the world right now. Women are like, look, you hurt me, stop doing it. They're learning how to say no, which is good, which is part of it. And it's necessary, and men need to hear it, by the way. So they have to, so it makes them deal with their shadow. But then women have to then own their own wound from the power of their own female, their own woman can own their own wound. And then when they hold their wound, which is really activated in divorce, right? Think about it. It will pop your wound. If you're getting divorced, at some point that thing is going to surface, and it is painful. And there is a loneliness to it. But women have the capacity to move, own their own wound and move through it into their wholeness as a woman. That is the gift that I see happening when women own their own wound. And it's an incredible thing to see, because often what happens to the soul will magnetize something in your life at times, or something will happen. Not, you might not be magnetizing it, but it will happen where you're forced to have to walk through your wound. And I know, and I'll just give a personal kind of anecdote, because it's all good for me to sit here. I realize it's easy to talk about it. It sounds so, you know, and it almost sounds detached in a way to me. But, you know, I'm going through my own transition. 5 months ago, Rebecca knows this. In May, I found out I have chronic kidney disease. And it popped everything. It was like fear. So I really like that you asked that fear question, because it was the main thing. And then after that was, it landed me in the wound of like, and mine is, you know, do I have a right to exist? Which is like, do I have a right to even exist, right? So it surfaced that. And now I don't necessarily want to deal with it because it is so painful. But I know if I have to practice what I teach, that I have to walk through it. And so, you know, luckily I also have a lot of really good friends and a lot of really good women friends who actually understand this and are helping me. And my men friends, actually. Because men have a tendency, when they're given the chance and they realize they're not the shadow, they will tell each other the truth, which I've noticed is which is important, right? If you look at the world where that's not happening, you know, you understand the importance of why more men have to do that. But so that's, it's a lot, it sounds like a lot, but that's it in a nutshell.
Well, you know, Scott, first, I'm sorry that your path is taking you down such a difficult course, I'm glad that you have tools that help you with the fear and maybe for our listeners, I know a tool that you use is meditation to help people deal with fear, to deal with this transition. Can you just, it might seem elementary, but maybe not to our listeners. Could you just explain a little bit about what meditation is?
Well, I mean, meditation in the traditional sense, I think part of it is, it's what you use to figure out what clears and clutters the mind, right? So you can have a clearer mind and connect to the higher mind, whatever that is for you. But I kind of think sometimes what happens is you have to be careful with that, because the mind is the thing causing the problem in the first place. So to use the mind to try to fix what it's causing, meditation is a very effective way to do it. But I think sometimes a faster even way to do it for people is just think of breathing through your feet. Open up your feet. So I'll show you guys quickly. So you just open every... So just let all your attention go down to your feet right now. I'll do it with you guys. And you just wiggle your toes. So you're doing that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. So now just feel the heel on your... Put all of your foot just down on the ground. Both feet, yeah. See? Alrighty. Now just let all your attention and energy go right down to the very bottoms of your feet. Yeah. And then just now activate your imagination. And you can stay looking at me. You'll still be able to do it. Imagine you can shoot like beams of energy from the bottoms of your feet down into the earth. You know, and then I'll just bring that energy up to the bottoms of your feet. And that's it.
So I just want to mention at this point, since our time is nearly up, number one. And number two, I also wanted to mention that Scott has graciously recorded a free meditation for us, which incorporates a little bit of what he just was talking about for our listeners, and also goes into much more detail. It's only a 5-minute meditation. It's amazing. It's calming. It's for anyone, even if you're not experiencing divorce, if you're just experiencing stress or any kind of negative emotions, which is 100% of the world. It's great for anyone. And you can find that at breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free-meditation. And we've also partnered with Scott with our mindful mediation company. We are the very first family law mediation center in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Scott is one of the people that we've partnered with on that. And if you choose the mindfulness track, you can choose to have 2 private sessions with Scott, which is amazing. I know him personally. I've been his student for several months now, and he's amazing. He's my own personal testimonial. So we are so, so grateful and blessed to be partnering with him at Breaking Free Mediation. So that's about our time. Susan, if you want to help us wrap up.
Yeah, no, Scott, we just want to thank you. Just as Rebecca was saying, I have personally been listening to the meditation that you recorded for us. It's absolutely wonderful, especially for our listeners who are going through that change, because it gives you, even in 5 minutes, if you can just pull away from whatever that chaotic emotion that you're dealing with is, get yourself back down to being grounded, and get back into your body. Centered space. You can make those important decisions about your life path, be it divorce or illness or addiction, as you mentioned earlier, or whatever it is. So thank you very much for providing that for our listeners. And as we go forward, we're really looking forward to our partnership with you at Breaking Free Mediation.
I'm looking forward to it as well. And thanks a lot, you guys. And
I just want to ask you if you could please let the listeners know where they can find out more about you, specifically your website.
Yeah, you can go to scottpicard.com. And also my Instagram, Scott Picard. And I'll start posting more about kind of more of the principles and concepts, because I know people, it's, you need to hear it and read it a couple times.
And I just want to spell it out for the listeners. It's S-C-O-T-T-P-I, P as in Peter, P-I-C-A-R-D as in David. So scottpicard.com. Thank you again.
Thank you for joining us today on Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce Podcast. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. For a limited time, get your free copy of Rebecca's best-selling divorce book, Breaking Free, a step-by-step divorce guide to achieving emotional, physical, and spiritual freedom at www.breakingfreethebook.com.
And for your free copy of Susan's Top 10 Reasons to Mediate Your Divorce, visit www.divorceinabetterway.com.
Check back next Monday for our next edition of our powerful, inspirational, and educational podcast. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, please remember to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and let us know what you liked in a review.
And remember, you're just one step away from your new life.